Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, if I may. I will refer to the appellant companies collectively, for convenience, if I may, as Virtual Geo, since there's several of them. Your Honors, it is settled law in the District of Columbia that an employee owes an employer a fiduciary duty not to act against the employer's best interest. And that duty includes a duty not to misappropriate the employer's proprietary information. That is what Mr. Drame did in this case we submit. The district court held there was little or no evidence that he did so. We submit that was clearly erroneous and that the evidence was overwhelming, primarily based upon Mr. Drame's own admissions, testimonial admissions at the trial. The district court also held that even if Mr. Drame had a fiduciary duty that he breached to Virtual Geo, he nevertheless is owed his patent bonuses, and that we submit is a clear error of law because under settled District of Columbia law, an employee who breaches his fiduciary duty is owed no further compensation by the employer. And in this case, Mr. Drame also had an employment contract with Virtual Geo in which he agreed not to misappropriate its proprietary information and which he assigned all of his rights to Virtual Geo. So he breached both his fiduciary duty and his employment contract. Moreover, he also violated the terms of a Delaware court injunction against his new employer, VGS, which applied to VGS and its employees and prevented VGS from misappropriating Virtual Geo's proprietary information. The district court ignored that injunction and gave it no weight whatsoever, and we submit that was also error. The evidence showing all of this, I submit, Your Honors, is really virtually indisputable. In April 2000, a disgruntled Virtual Geo director named Sahagan left and formed a competing company, VGS, for the avowed purpose of stealing Virtual Geo's patent rights. Virtual Geo immediately ran to court in Delaware to enjoin that act. A month later, Mr. Drame left Virtual Geo and joined VGS. He was aware of that injunction action and of the dispute at the time. In August, a few months later, the Delaware court, in fact, undid the illegal merger that Mr. Sahagan had tried to effectuate without any notice to Dr. Sahagan, who was the owner of Virtual Geo. It also enjoined VGS, Drame's new employer, and its employees from violating Virtual Geo's proprietary rights. Nevertheless, a few months later, while employed with his new employer, VGS, Mr. Drame engaged in two clear acts of attempts to misappropriate Virtual Geo's proprietary information.
First, let me just ask you, in terms of the relief and the theory of the relief, you're seeking reversal here and a remand.
Yes, ma'am.
Basically on your breach of contract claim here. And you have alternative arguments. Does it matter to you which the court adopts? In other words, arguing fiduciary duty, but
yes,
you're
sure.
Also arguing the employment agreement.
And the employment agreement and the violation of the injunction. It matters not to us, Your Honor, in the sense that each of these grounds is a complete affirmative defense to the payment to Mr. Drame of his patent bonuses. So in that sense, each separately is an affirmative defense, if that answers the court's question. The evidence that he engaged in this November 2000 attempts to misappropriate Virtual Geo's property is admitted by him. He admitted that in November.
You keep using the phrase appropriate their property. I'm looking at the injunction, paragraph 2. VGS is enjoined from continuing to assert ownership or control over the LLC's property. That's the key language, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
And your argument is that the later filing of patent applications violated that language?
It did, because the November patent filing, Your Honor, duplicated a patent that Drame and Castile had filed in February of 2000 on behalf of Virtual Geo as co-inventors. Drame
And you claim the filing of the patent application is asserting ownership or control.
Yes, Your Honor, because he admitted
Do you have authority that suggests that the filing of a patent application, even a duplicative patent application, is asserting ownership or control?
It is under these circumstances when the patent application itself made reference to the February application that he had filed while he was at Virtual Geo, and in which he admitted that it in fact was an attempt to duplicate the Virtual Geo patent.
So you're saying an attempt to duplicate is asserting ownership or control? I'm just trying to get the legal point here.
I think a patent right is a property right, Your Honor, and I think, no, we don't have a citation for that because it seems clear that a patent right is property. And by admitting that he sought to...
Did you make this argument before the district court?
Yes, Your Honor. The best exposition of that, I suggest, is in my closing argument to the district court, in which we put it all together with references. I would urge the court simply to read Mr. Drame's own testimony, in which he admits this conduct. In a second occasion, Your Honor, he also filed for the so-called 127 patent in November, which he and Dr. Castillo, back in 1999, had applied for in behalf of Virtual Geo. That's the patent that both the Patent Office and the European Patent Office held was a duplicate knockoff of Virtual Geo's patent. And on that it was on that basis we also sought a new trial, and we're currently seeking a Rule 60B motion under this.
I was going to ask you, what is the status of the Rule 60B motion?
It's still pending before Judge Facciolo, Your Honor. He originally denied it on jurisdictional grounds. It was more than 1 year after the final judgment. We pointed out that the final judgment was not until April of 2007, and it was clearly within a year of that, and that's still pending for his consideration. Regrettably, this could result in duplicate appeals, by the way, Judge Rogers, which is why we sought a stay before the district court, which was denied. To the extent that we failed to complete the record on these issues and others, we did ask for a new trial. We presented to the district court very good reasons why we were entitled to a new trial, because the district court had ignored the Delaware injunction. Judge Griffith, I hope I've answered your question that a patent right is a property right, and that seemed to suffice for us for this purpose. We also have the two arguments that if Mr. Drame is entitled to any patent bonuses, and we submit he's not, that clearly he had, by admission, we overpaid him. He was paid $85,000 in patent bonuses while he was at Virtual Geo. By admission, that was an overpayment because, in fact, he billed us for the full amounts of the patent without dividing it by the number of inventors as his contract required. And if you divide it by the number of inventors, the arithmetic shows that we overpaid him by some $44,000. Our final argument is that, in fact, a new trial should have been granted. I would simply urge the court to please read Mr. Drame's own testimony of admissions at trial, in which he admitted that he filed in November of 2000 this request. This patent application, which he admitted took the same information as he had filed in behalf of Virtual Geo only a few months earlier. And based upon those admissions alone, we submit the district court was clearly in error in saying that there was no, little or no evidence of his attempt to do these things. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll hear from Appellee.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Mary Zinsner. I represent the appellee, John Drame. The District Court's findings of fact and conclusions of law that Mr. Drame is entitled to judgment in the amount of $78,000 should be affirmed. There's nothing in the District Court's well-reasoned opinion that's clearly erroneous or an abuse of discretion. It was a straightforward one-day bench trial on a breach of contract claim. The case had been pending for over 5 years prior to trial. There was no rushing of the case to trial. There was ample time to determine what evidence to introduce.
Do you think there was an error of law to the extent that the judge found that even if he breached his contract, he was still entitled to recover bonuses?
Your Honor, I do not believe there was any error of law. There was no factual evidence presented to support any conclusion that Mr. Drame breached any type of contract, whether it be the employment contract or the Delaware injunction.
I'm just parroting basically what the magistrate judge Wouldn't that be an error of law?
Your Honor, but again, there was the district court found that there was no evidence to, even if you were to find there was a breach of contract, there was no evidence to support it. Mr. Dream terminated.
What about paragraphs 8 and 9 of the agreement?
Paragraph 8 and 9 of the consulting agreement, Your Honor?
Mm-hmm.
Paragraph 9 is the paragraph regarding trade secrets and inventions and the bonus payment. And again, there was no evidence that after Mr. Dream terminated his employment with the Castile companies that he violated any agreement. Again, when he applied for any subsequent patents, patent applications, Your Honor, are in the public domain, and he's certainly free to apply for a patent. There's a suggestion that he filed an interfering or competing patent. Again, that was a patent for which a provisional application had been filed while he was an employee of the Castile companies. He was named as an inventor on that particular patent. And thereafter, when he left the employment, because it was a provisional patent, you have 1 year within to file the actual patent. He was not certain at that point in time whether Dr. Castile had applied for a patent. He applied for one and then subsequently abandoned that patent once he found out that Dr. Castile had applied for a patent. So again, there's
paragraph 9 has an assignment provision in it.
Your Honor, at the time he filed the provisional application, it's my understanding from the evidence that he had not yet assigned any intellectual property. The assignment occurs at the time of the filing of the actual application. This was merely the filing of a provisional application.
What about as to the other patents?
As to the other patents, Your Honor, again, that relates to the whole PTO examination process. The PTO examination process, again,
He filed on behalf of at least 11 patents, right?
Your Honor, he was awarded bonuses on 11 patents. There's only one or two that are issue that they're contending were improper. And the one is the 168 slot patent, the provisional application, and I believe the other one is a patent for which, again, Your Honor, the material was in the public domain. He was free to file whatever patent application he wanted. And the PTO process, Your Honor, the PTO process has not concluded.
There are some limits to that
process. There are, Your Honor. The patent reexamination process is a very regular process. Counsel testified that or indicated that the PTO concluded it was a duplicative knockout. There's been no such finding, Your Honor. The PTO process has not been concluded. It's still in process. The fact that one examiner at the PTO office may find that a patent was anticipated or obvious based on prior art is not, you can't equate it to wrongdoing or stealing of trade secret. Again, it's simply a technical term that the patent office.
Breach of contract.
Your Honor, but again, there's been no breach of contract because there has been no assignment of the particular intellectual property rights with respect to these patents at issue. Your Honor, the court also inquired as to the motion for reconsideration and the 60B motion. There were two or three motions for reconsideration under the 60B.
And I'm not talking about the 59E motion. I'm talking about the subsequent 59E
right.
60B motion.
And Magistrate Judge Fasciola found that the Rule 60B motion was filed well after the one-year period and denied that motion. There was a second motion for reconsideration filed on that same ground, and that's what's pending. I assume he'll make the same finding. Your Honor, turning to the defenses before the trial court, Magistrate Judge Fasciola's conclusion that there was insufficient evidence of overpayment should be affirmed. There was no testimony establishing overpayment or any right of set-off on cross-examination. Dr. Castile, for the defendant, testified that he could not relate.
Again, that's just what the consulting agreement provided, that the bonus would be divided by the number.
That's right, Your Honor, and that's how Judge Fasciola calculated the amount of bonuses that Mr. Drain was entitled to by simply dividing the number of inventors. There's no error in that finding. And then with respect to...
I thought you were going to rely on the testimony by the owner of the original company saying that he intended to overpay him in some instances, and your client's testimony that he was never told.
Well, that's certainly one argument we could rely on, Your Honor. There's no support in the record for any conclusion that there had been overpayment. There was simply no correlation. Subsequent to trial, they tried to establish that, and that was one of the basis for Magistrate Judge Fasciola's denial of the Rule 59 motion. There's similarly no support in the record for the conclusion that Mr. Drain wasn't entitled to a patent bonus on the divisional application. Again, that's supported by the evidence before the court. There was substantial testimony on the divisional application process, and the consulting agreements provides that a bonus shall be paid upon the successful issuance of any one patent. Your Honor, I just want to focus briefly on the allegation of wrongdoing post-employment. There's a suggestion that the district court overlooked the Delaware court injunction or didn't give it the credence that it was entitled to. The Delaware injunction opinion, the order, was not even introduced into evidence. There were no pleadings from the Delaware court. Mr. Drain was shown it on cross-examination, and he had never seen it before, and he knew generally about it, but did not know the specific terms. So there's no evidence that he engaged in any deliberate acts to violate that Delaware Chancery decision.
Ignorance of the law.
Your Honor, but there's still no evidence that he engaged in any wrongdoing, even if you were to accept that point. There's no evidence he breached any fiduciary duty either pre- or post-employment. The patent applications that we're dealing with were all in the public domain. Once you file a patent application, it's available on the World Wide Web to review.
I don't quite understand the gist of your argument. Does that mean I could today go file an application for a patent?
Your Honor, if you could truthfully allege that you're an inventor of that particular patent, you can file a competing application for a patent.
And your argument that would not violate the second paragraph of the injunction, which says that the VGS can't assert ownership or control over assets?
I would not, Your Honor. We have a situation where Mr. Drame was listed on the provisional application as a co-inventor with Dr. Castile. And a provisional application is just that, it's provisional until such time as a real application for a patent is filed. Mr. Drame was not aware as to whether Mr. Castile had filed a real application to preserve that 1 year period, to preserve that.
And is that the only possible infringement they're alleging here, that when he filed a patent application that would challenge the provisional application, there's no other instance here of filing a patent application that might run afoul of the injunction?
It's that competing application, Your Honor, for which he was initially named as an inventor in the provisional application, and then I believe there's the other patent, the 127 patent, which counsel referenced was held to be a duplicate knockout. Well, that's not the case. That's another patent that Mr. Drame alleges he was the inventor on, and he contends it's totally unrelated, that the idea for the patent was conceived of post-employment. It's all this argument that it's part of the PTO reexamination process, and again, the PTO reexamination process, the request for the ex parte patent reexamination review occurred prior to this trial. They certainly could have introduced the patent reexamination request at trial. They chose not to, Your Honor. And they certainly also could have introduced the underlying conduct that gave rise to the patent application. They chose not to do that either, Your Honor. So again, we contend that it's the whole patent reexamination process is not probative of anything. It's simply indicative once the process is concluded as to whether the patent examiner finds that a patent may be anticipated.
Is Mr. Drame a citizen of Virginia?
Yes, Your Honor.
Your complaint doesn't allege that. It just alleges he's a resident of Virginia. We've had cases that have said that makes a difference.
Your Honor, I believe he's resided in Virginia. He's 80 years old most of his life, so. Yeah. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Counsel for appellant.
The Patent Office decision to reexamine was not known at the time of trial. It came down the day after the judgment, after the trial. The PTO decision is final. Now, VGS asserted that it was the assignee of Mr. Drame's patent that he filed in November application. And in fact, he had already assigned it to Virtual Geo. So how can you assign the same patent rights to two different companies? That's clearly a breach of contract. He had assigned all of his patent rights to Virtual Geo under his contract way back in the 90s. A patent application is not in the public domain so that anybody else can go out and duplicate it, in the sense that that gives you license to steal your former employer's trade secrets, because the know-how that goes into a patent application is clearly a proprietary trade secret. He agreed to that in his contract. It's not in the public domain in that sense at all. He admitted that as to the amount of the overcharges, he admitted that he billed for the full amount of the patent applications while he was at Virtual Geo, and he admitted that as to them, there were several inventors and that he did not divide by the number of inventors. So simple of arithmetic could have cured that problem, and he's been rewarded doubly by being given more than he was entitled to.
All right. Thank you. We'll take the case under